When have you faced opposition from others for doing the right thing? Under what circumstances do you find it difficult to persevere in doing what is right? And when have you experienced God's protection in your life?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Welcome back to our Building Foundation series as we continue studying through the book of Ezra. Today we come to chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, with the message titled, The Preaching and the Protest. Now last time, we saw how the work stopped, and not because of unfaithfulness, but because of opposition. So, after a long pause, God speaks again, this time through the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Their message stirs the people, and the leaders rise up to rebuild the house of God. The work that had been sitting still begins again. But as the building restarts, questions come. Authority is challenged and opposition returns. Yet, this time, something is different. The people don't stop. They keep building. God often restarts His work through His Word. When He speaks, it gives courage to move forward, even when opposition hasn't gone away. So, is there something God has already called you to that you've stopped doing, and He is now calling you to step back in and begin again? Let's join Pastor Ben in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, in today's title, The Preaching and the Protest. Here's Pastor Ben.
You go, well, Ben, what about our lives? Like you were talking about the church. Well, it's the same thing. Take a look at your life. The enemies of God will continue to try to stop you from walking close to Jesus. And He will do it in the same ways. You go, what's that? If you want to walk close to Jesus, you have to take a good, like Soph says, an inventory, spiritual inventory. Take a good look, because what we'll do is we'll compromise in our walks. We'll compromise in our walks. You go, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, to compromise is to make concessions or accommodations for someone who does not agree with the prevalent set of standards or rules. The Bible makes it clear that God does not condone compromising His standards. It says, joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. You go, that was a lot of words you used. What do you mean? We can't profess to know Jesus and live like the world. It's really, we can't compromise the things. I find it interesting when life gets real hectic, tell me what's the first thing to go. Your devotion time. When life gets really busy, the first thing to go, okay, listen, I'm going to read my Bible. I'll get to it. And that's the first thing we sort of compromise. And that's the very foundation we need each and every morning, is to be in God's Word for ourselves in the ministry. And what you need to know is that although we have beautiful, you know, we teach the Bible on Sundays and we teach the Bible on Wednesdays and we have podcasts and we have teachings all over, there's nothing that replaces you one-on-one with the Holy Spirit, listening to Him and letting Him speak to you. That's where growth comes. But that's the first thing that goes when we compromise our walks. Now, I don't say that to some of you go, man, I went to church Wednesday night and I was all busted, man. I was just like, no. You got to be careful. I think about what Paul told the Galatians in chapter 1, 6 and 7. He said this, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. He says, I am shocked that you're turning away so soon from God. Can you imagine? This is what he says. I marvel that you're turning away. He's like, Paul's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me already? You had a great encounter with God and now you're not walking. You're not even praying to Him. He says, I am shocked. To who called you to Himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the gospel, but it's not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. That's compromise. Paul was shocked that they were already compromising their walks. Number two in our lives, guys, discouragement. The enemy uses discouragement, and I think it's important for you to know it's discouragement. Oh, you're not really growing like you should. Oh, you should be stronger than you. Oh, come on. And think about this. The enemy often uses disappointment with God. You know, how are you discouraged? I'll tell you how. You prayed for something, you worked for something, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Can we be honest in church? If we're honest in church, it works the same way. I get a call and says, hey, there's a guy who wants to sell you an acre of land. You could build your church there, and it's reasonably priced. And we get all excited, and I feel like the discouragement comes. We're like, here's the carrot. No, not yours. And we walk around going, oh, Lord, I thought we had something. And we know God knows better. Can I get an amen? We know that, but it doesn't stop the discouragement when we're sitting here. Well, he also uses fear in your life. Fear. So how do we overcome the enemy who tries to attack us by fear? You ready? We're in the Word of God. Now, we have 33 verses to remind us that we don't have to fear. You probably should take some time to look them up. You don't have to fear, but he'll use fear. What happens if you get radically saved? What happens if you get on fire for the Lord? Oh, well, you'll lose your friends. They won't understand you. What about this? What about frustration? Frustration is the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of the inability to change or achieve something. And in our lives, we work so hard to change our lives, but we get frustrated when things don't change. And yet, all we need to do, and this is the hardest thing to do, you go, what is that? Is just to allow the Lord to change us. To change us. If you were here on Sunday morning, you heard Soph from this pulpit say, he gave you his before and his after. How did you change, Soph? How did you change? He goes, I didn't. The Lord changed. What school did you go to become a Christian? What? He didn't. It was right here. But that's the hardest thing for us to do because we feel like we need to do something. Sometimes we just need to go, Lord, just take control. You know the changes that I need. You know the changes in my heart. Maybe you're here tonight and some of you feel far from God. You feel like you're like in a desert. Man, get before him tonight and say, Lord, change me. We sing that song, change my heart, oh God, change me, Lord. Help me to walk in peace, patience. And those are the ways that the opposition comes. Back in our text, guys, I don't get way out of it. Now, by the way of introduction, I want to ask some questions just to get you thinking. Under what circumstances do you find it difficult to persevere in doing what is right? Under what circumstances? You're like, okay, that's a good one. And again, you can just think about these. When have you faced opposition from others for doing the right thing? You think about that one. Oh, yeah. And when have you experienced God's protection in your life? Now, as we come to chapter 5, we see that opposition and obstacles actually cause the work to cease. Okay? And now we're going to see it renewed. Renewed. And that's what we need here tonight. Some of us need that renewal. But in order to understand just the two verses, and of course, next week we'll continue all in chapter 5, I want to go back and I'm just going to read Ezra 4, 1 through 5, and then we'll jump to verse 24. So go back to Ezra 4, look at verse 1 with me. It says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel. Stop right there. I want to remind you, this is a beautiful picture illustration of what God wanted to do in their hearts. As they were building the physical temple, God's doing something amazing in their hearts. Notice what happens, verse 2. These adversaries came to Zerubbabel, the heads of the fathers' houses, and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Ereshkigal, the king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel, also known as who? Gideon, right? I'm sorry, Zerubbabel, Ezra and Joshua, the rest of the heads of the fathers, house of Israel, said to them, notice what he says, you may do nothing with us to build the house of our God. In other words, no, you're not going to infiltrate the church. You're not going to come in. But we alone will build the house of the Lord our God of Israel. King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even to the end of Darius, the king of Persia. So really, the work had begun. God's looking deep in the heart of the people. You need to come back to me. The relationship is strained. I'm going to use the temple, the very relationship that you feel in the temple. I want to use that to reach your heart. And the enemies were like, no, we can't let that happen. Because what would happen, church, if we were totally sold out for God? What would happen in our city if we were on fire for God 24/7? The enemy doesn't want that to happen. Why? Because your friends would get saved. Your family would get saved. They would see the difference in your life and they would be astounded. Wow. They would see that there's no compromise in your life. They would see that you're walking strong. They would see that you're unified. They would see that you're one with your wife. They would see all of these things. And just like here, they said, no. So they did all of these things. Look at verse 24. What was the result? Thus, the work of the house of God, which in Jerusalem ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year in the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So the work stopped. The work stopped. This would be a win for the enemy. Yeah, we got him. We stopped the work. Think about this. Think about this in a personal way. What do you think the enemy wants to do in your life? He wants you to stop from walking close to God. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop. And so what happened is the work discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Well, see, tonight, church, in just a couple of verses, we're going to learn that the building of God's house is going to be renewed. The building of God's faith is renewed as well as the foundation in each person's heart. So my prayer as we jump into tonight is simply this, that the work that God had started in you would just be renewed tonight. And you may have come here tonight and been like, man, Ben, I'm on fire for God. Man, this is amazing. And I say, amen. Sometimes we don't even realize that the work has stopped. And then God is so amazing and so beautiful and so classic God that he brought you here. And he says, okay, let's jumpstart your walk again. Let's jumpstart that closeness that we have. You're not here by accident. I brought you here. And this is what he wants to do. So as we jump in, I would say, you know how they do previously on the Ezra files, 15 years since the work has stopped. 15 years, church. But then we see God's people take up the work again. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So note with me, the work had stopped. The enemy seemingly won. But what you need to know is God's not done. God's not done. God's not like, well, we tried. I tried. You know what, Israel, you just stay there. I'm going to go work over here with these people. God's like, okay, listen, the enemy may think he has won, but God's not done. That's a great tweet, isn't it? The enemy may think he's won, but God's not done. How so? He sends two prophets to come, and he comes to speak to the exiles there in Jerusalem. They had come back to rebuild the temple. And although they had stopped working on God's house, they've come. And Haggai and Zechariah. And now you and I, we must take a look at ourselves and ask the question, what happened during those 15 years? Like, what did Israel do? They moved from Babylon back home. They started the process of rebuilding the temple. Opposition comes. They throw up their, okay. What was going on? What was happening during this government-executed shutdown, if you will? What was happening? Well, I love that God is not done, and he sent Haggai. So hold your place here. Turn with me to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. You're going to continue going right, and you'll hit the minor prophets. You're going to hit Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then you will come to Haggai. We've studied Haggai, so we're not going to go real deep in it, but I want to show you what's happening. God had asked Haggai and Zechariah to come and speak to them, to speak to them. Although the enemy thought he won, God is not done. Let's take a look. Haggai chapter 1, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, okay? So again, Haggai's writing this. He's going, okay, this is it. And he says, two, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. Okay, so what are they saying? Okay, well, the work has stopped. The work has stopped. Now, remember, intertwine that with your life. Okay, you decide, I'm going to really be on fire for God. You decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to study. I'm going to have my quiet time. I'm going to give. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do whatever God's calling me to do. And the enemy comes in and he throws all of these obstacles and oppositions in your way. And there are times when a lot of people give up. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on Wednesday night. So you're on fire. You want what God has for you. You're ready to hear his voice. You're ready to just get that nugget of truth that you can just feast on tonight and tomorrow. Just, oh, Lord, you spoke to me, man. I just didn't realize this. And so you're here, but there are a lot of people, when the opposition comes, they're done. They're done. A lot of times they don't understand who God is. They don't understand the heart of God. Because see, that was me when I was 17. I remember getting saved and I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And I gave my life to the Lord, but I really felt like I had to be a perfect person, a perfect Christian. Like, and 2 weeks in, I went in prayer and I was like, God, I can't be a Christian. Like he would be upset. Oh man, we were hoping you'd be on our team, dude. Okay, well, I guess that's what I thought. Lord, I can't be a Christian because I keep messing up all the time. I keep blowing it. I keep sinning. I'm a kid. I'm 17. And you got all these hormones raising and all this stuff happening. And you're just like, I just felt like I couldn't be a Christian, even though I had prayed this sinner's prayer. And the enemy was coming in and trying to stop that closeness with God. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, hey, it's not time. It's not time. Well, 15 years go by. And here's what Haggai says. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple lie in ruins? Good question. Hey, are you happy living in your houses while the church just lays there in ruins? He says, now therefore, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, consider your ways. Do a heart check. Do an inventory. He says, let's take a look at your life. You have sown much and you're bringing in little. You eat and you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earn wages to put into a bag with holes. It's like your money's going everywhere. He says, listen to what the Lord says. Take a good look at yourself. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. What do we need to do by way of application? You and I, we need to get serious about God. Consider your ways. You ready? You ready for the conviction? You ready? Okay, because I'm going to step on my toes as well as yours. If we want to draw close to God, we need to take a good look at our whole life. How much time do we spend in God's word versus how much time do we spend doing other things?
I'm not going to Calvary. That's just, I'm just feel convicted.
No, no, no. This is what he's saying. He's saying, consider your ways. And I know for me, I have no reason to complain how close I am to God, because there are times when I will watch TV for 3 or 4 hours, whatever show we're watching, and it's my fault. It's my choice. And the Lord says, consider your ways, Ben.
Well, God, but I really want you to speak to me. I haven't really.
And he's like, okay, but you pray, and in your quiet time, you're praying just a little bit, but hey. How about this, Ben? How about you go to the mountains and get some wood? What does that mean? Spend some time with me. Take some time. It's funny that Pastor Soph taught on 1 John chapter 4, because that was really what I was wanting to do on vacation. After I read our one-year Bible, I was just kind of going through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, just wanting God to speak to me, just me and the Lord. No teaching that I wanted to hear. I was just like, okay, Lord, what are you really saying? So go to the mountains, he says. Go, guys, go get the wood. Go to the mountains, bring the wood from the temple that I may take pleasure and be glorified. You looked for much, but indeed came with little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and the grain and the new wine and the oil and whatever brings forth on men and livestock and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. This is where they got to the point. They said, oh, whoa. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. And the Lord God sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, this high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. Notice, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month of the 2nd year of King Darius. Guys, guess what happened? They were stoked to do it. They said, sometimes we need just that gentle, beautiful reminder where we are. And sometimes we need that little push from behind to go, hey, let's get going. Oh, wow, Lord, sorry. But I love the fact that God doesn't just go, hey, go. He says, no. Haggai says, he's going to be with you. Go. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy. But it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio. And I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry. And by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue,
Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.